This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week. And it's 11:11 on the clock. Perfect timing to be talking. First of all, I want to just let you know that I will be continuing my podcast weekly. I guess I just needed a bit of a break, and that happens from time to time because I cannot give you if I have nothing to give, right? Because I'm burnt out, because all of us get burnt out, right? With our jobs, with whatever. So every Tuesday is, I will be putting out a new podcast, okay? The other thing I want to say is, if you need help and you need coaching, I am not the no contact coach, regardless of the name of this podcast. I make this podcast, and I'm fast forwarding a little bit here. This is going to be about going no contact because someone made a comment on my Instagram, and I they have that I can't reply to them thing. You can't at them. So I hope they listen to this podcast. I really do. Because it's an explanation of why you go no contact. There's so many mistaken thoughts and beliefs behind it, but I can help you, first of all, correct some of that, thinking. All right. And it's not your fault that you don't understand every little thing about narcissistic people. Right? Even if you do research, you're not going to get it until you live it and then you learn it, right? And then you move forward with that new knowledge of, okay, this is how they work. So if you need coaching, I'm going to put my coaching link on there, and you can just set yourself up for coaching. Okay, you can put an appointment. It's Linktree, first button, book a session. It gives you the information right there. You don't have to book a session just because you click on it. All it is to see how much it is. And, okay? I'm almost at 15,000 followers, and I want to give away a free session when I hit 15,000. So if you're not following me, follow me. And I will randomly pick somebody that has been active on my page, of course, to give a free session to. Okay. So those two things, right? I'm here for free session or for sessions, for coaching sessions. And I'm going to be putting out podcasts every Tuesday. Okay. All right. So I already kind of told you what my podcast is about today. And I'm just going to say it. My cats will be a regular part of my podcast from this moment on, apparently. They have been in the last few podcasts, and you can hear this one is crazy. I don't know. He's just yapping all the time. I was recording a podcast last week, and I decided not to put it out there. But in the middle of recording this giant palmetto bug, I live in Florida, those giant roaches, they get in your house. They had just mowed the lawn, and it got in here somehow. And it was gigantic. And my beautiful cat, and he is beautiful, and he is big. He's like 17 pounds. Decide that he hadn't seen it because it was on the wall, but it fell because it was so big. And it was wobbly, you know, so I'm thinking either something happened to it or it was just damn old. It was so big. I'm thinking it was just old. And it fell, and when my cat saw it, my cat ran the other way. That's my Puffy. I have a little cat, and she will eat and attack anything that's alive, but he will not. So I had to deal with that on my own. That was scary. Anyway, moving on. All right. So, first of all, why do we go no contact? I had a very specific incident happen, and that is sometimes why people go no contact, okay? Most of the time, that is not what happens. My case is special, different, unique, and I've told you guys what it is. Hurricane Irma, so this was 5 years ago, over 5 years ago. Hurricane baby Hurricane Irma in comparison to Ian that just passed in at the end of September of last year. We had no power and it was very hot. In the next 2 days, it got very, very hot and it was like over 100 degrees inside the house. Outside, it was just sun. I mean, there was nowhere to be comfortable. And my husband's actually telling me, he goes, I don't feel well. He was dehydrated, I think, and he was dizzy. We were drinking Gatorade, but it just wasn't enough. And I said to him, all right, we're going to get in the car. But this is what happened. At this point, I was low contact because of another situation, which I was going to do that podcast today and decided to postpone that. So I had been calling my parents to see how they were doing after the hurricane, and that's what I had did at that afternoon. So we're talking 3 or 4 days after the hurricane, and we had no power for 10 days total. Just like we had no power 11 days during for Ian, but we had a better situation than now as far as we were in air conditioning and we had power. So I called and my dad picked up the phone and he did, you know, when I asked for my mother, he did the, she's in the shower, which is what she always did when she didn't want to talk to me, right? That was her stonewalling. And so I asked him, I said, oh, do you guys have power? And he goes, yeah, we got power last night. So they purposely had not told me that they had power. And that literally flipped a switch inside my head. I couldn't not be no contact. I couldn't put up with my mother trying to hurt me. And in this case, I keep thinking, what was her purpose here? She was trying to punish me for not spending the hurricane in their house, which all she did was make me feel like, thank God I didn't spend the hurricane in her. I wasn't going to lock myself in a house with her, okay? And I wasn't even going to accept going over there because they had power. That's the truth. But the bottom line is that they had power and didn't tell me because she wanted me to die. She wanted me to be uncomfortable. She wanted, what was the point? So I went no contact. That's what happened with me. That's the real story. That's not what people know. I mean, the people in my family, that's not what they know. I just stopped talking to her. They don't know the whole story, of course. But, all right. Okay, so that's not usually what happens. Some people, yes. Because I've been doing this for years. And by this, I mean podcasts and Instagram and getting messages, emails. Please email me if you want to tell me something. If you need to get something out, just email me. Okay? The email's always in the link. So if right now, I mean, just go to the description and look for my email. Anyway, most of the time, people go no contact because the narcissistic mother does something that's is just another thing. It's not a huge thing. It's just another medium-sized thing, but you're done, right? It's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the last shirt you're trying to put in the drawer and won't fit. That's the reason that most people go no contact, because they just can't take it anymore, okay? And they have that aha moment. It's more like when I got divorced. It wasn't anything that my ex did to make me want to get divorced. It was just accumulation of many, many, many things, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And I snapped one day. It was over. In my head, it was over. Regardless, I could have stayed married to him 10 years, but it was over. I wasn't going to talk to him, or we weren't going to be married regardless, okay? Even if he put up a fight and refused to leave and, you know. I remember, oh my God, I was getting divorced and I got a lawyer right away. I wanted out immediately. And the lawyer, and I was telling the lawyer, he won't leave because he did not want to leave. And he told me, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have to leave. There's no law that says he has to leave. You could be divorced and still live in the same house. And I was like, oh, well, that's comforting, but I want him to leave. That's the whole point. But I get it. I mean, there are people that do get divorced and still live in the same house because of financial reasons. But we had no reason to do that. He could just pick up and go. He did, eventually. He did. Anyway, back to the no contact. So usually it's just something else that happened, or you're very low contact and then all of a sudden you're pushed into a situation where you're in more contact and you realize, oh my God, this is awful for me. I can't do this. And then you go no contact completely. All right. So no contact is not N-O-T, not revenge, not punishment. Okay. If you're doing it for that reason, it's going to fail, because that's not why people go no contact. Believe me. Okay. No contact is not an easy thing to do. For those of you, or I've been kind of accused, I put that in quotes, of being the no contact person. No, I'm not the no contact person. That was my experience. So that's why I talk about it. But I will say that if you go to Dr. Romani's videos, right, or to Chris Godinez, who's a therapist, or even Lisa Romano, they're going to tell you that no contact is the best way to deal with a narcissist. It just is. Any contact that you give them, any little bit that you give them, is an opportunity for them to hurt you and to abuse you. Okay? So that's why no contact is best. But the reasons to go no contact is to protect yourself. Okay? If you go no contact because you're getting revenge, it's not going to work. Now, I just said something, and I'm going to tell you kind of the opposite. It's going to feel like you're getting revenge at first, because you're going to have anger, okay? You're going to have very valid feelings, okay, in the beginning. You're going to be upset. You're going to be pissed off that this person, and when you step back, oh my God, are you going to start to see what really was going on, right? First of all, the smear campaign is going to come to light, okay? Because that's when they ramp up the smear campaign. They make sure that you know what they've been saying about you, that they've been telling the family what a horrible person you are way before anything happened. And you're confused and angry, okay? So in the beginning, it may feel like you're getting revenge on your parent or your mother. But if you're doing it for the right reason, it will stick better. Now, I just put a post on Instagram, And it's a funny little, it's a meme, right? It's from The Office, which I don't even watch, but this is a funny meme where it's like, oh my God, the feeling you get when you broke the no contact, right? And you realize you need to go back. That's fine. That is going to happen most likely, right? I never broke it technically. I never went back to wanting a relationship with my mother, but I did talk to her after I went no contact with her a couple of times. There were a couple of situations, and I can't remember exactly anymore. And I'm not protecting myself. I don't remember. I know one time it was, I was looking for, I found out I had three older brothers that I didn't know I had. And I was trying to look for one. I knew where two of them were because they were full siblings. So, of course, I knew where they were. But the third one was a half sibling to those two. So they had the same father, my father, and a different mother. And I couldn't find him. And some rando guy, same last name as my dad, got arrested in Miami, who was a cocaine cowboy, if anybody knows who. Well, a lot of you don't know. Cocaine cowboys were a drug cartel that was famous in Miami in the 70s and 80s. And they had arrested like the last member they were looking for. And his last name happened to be my dad's last name because it's super freaking common in the Latin. My parents have the most common last names in the Hispanic community. Like I have no... And then I marry a guy with a super common last name in English. So my first name is very unique. It's not really Millie. Okay, that's short. But my Hispanic last name, super common. Like, super common. Anyway, so she called me to tell me that was my brother. He got arrested. She wanted me to stop looking for him. And she left a voicemail and I called her back and I said, that's not my brother. And I hung up on her because I wanted her to know that I wasn't going to fall for it. And they found out, I made sure they found out when I met him. He lives in Massachusetts. We happened to be going to Connecticut. And I found him 2 weeks before and I was staying an hour and a half away from where he lived. Okay, so we went and we met him in person. I took pictures and I sent them to my cousin to make sure that my dad knew that I met his son, right? The one that they wanted to hide from me. So I don't know what the purpose was. I already knew I had three brothers, but she didn't want me to meet him. Okay, so going back to the no contact thing. You go no contact to protect yourself. That's the only valid reason to go no contact. Okay? It is not a punishment to the narcissist. They don't care. All right? Sometimes I say things that sound really harsh, and maybe you're not there yet, and maybe you won't even believe me. You'll believe me later. Okay? Trust me. As a matter of fact, it's 6 years of me being in this situation and headfirst into narcissism. 6 years, you know, and having people tell me their stories. I know what I'm talking about, okay? Now, you may... It's not easy. Going no contact is not easy. That's one thing that people have a wrong impression about, too. Outside people that we go no contact and it's easy for us. It's not, especially us. I don't want to make this generational, but I think that the younger generations can do it easily because they have more support within their own generations to do it. We do not. And what we do, most of us do out of instinct, not even out of, hey, I know that my mother's toxic. We do it because I can't stand being around her. She's done the last thing she's ever going to do to me. Okay? And that's why we go no contact. I just want to clear that up, because yeah, if I tell you something, I have to start from the beginning. And the beginning is you go no contact because you want to protect yourself. You want to stop having anxiety every day of your life. You want to stop feeling like crap about yourself. You want to be free and happy eventually, and you need to do it, okay? Those are the right reasons, because you can't take it anymore. Not revenge, okay? Now, like I said, in the beginning, it may feel like revenge. You're getting even with the narcissist, but in fact, you're not getting even with them because they don't care. So let's move on from the reasons of going no contact to how to go no contact, okay? Remember, the purpose behind it is to protect yourself. And let me just warn you that from personal experience, there almost isn't enough you can do to protect yourself. Because even when you do everything I'm about to tell you, you can still have those Hoover attempts. They find a way. With me recently, my mother is dead, by the way, so this isn't coming from her. It's coming from my family. And because I cut them off completely, they've gone all the way to Cuba. Had a family member in Cuba contact me to Hoover me that way. I've cut him off too. It's such a horrific cycle it depends on, of course, who your narcissist is. Your mother may do the Stonewall thing. I was, for the first couple of years, I could say pretty calm, like no one was really bothering me that much, but I wasn't fully protected, okay? So that's what I really want to touch upon here, is how you get fully protected, or not fully, but like 98%, and then hopefully when and if something happens in that 2%, you will find a way to not respond, because that's the important thing here with no contact, is no response whatsoever. Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to block your mother and anyone who has contact with your mother that you really know is not a good person, who is also narcissistic or a flying monkey that does not have your best interest in at heart. But that's something you have to use discernment with. What do I mean by discernment? You have to know this person is, their intention is not good. Or this person is a flying monkey and I just have to, but they're not a bad person, right? And I have to just be careful what I tell them. I can't tell them anything about myself. You cannot give any information to a flying monkey that they're going to bring back to the narcissist. So let's start with the narcissist. Block the narcissist on everything, okay? I can't stress that enough. You not calling them is not no contact. That is not no contact. That is low contact, and that is you waiting for them to call you. That's a different thing than saying, I'm putting a boundary and you're not going to reach me, okay? Now, I understand that there's really no way to block them in a way that you don't get a voicemail from them. Or, you know, I know that. But if they attempt to call you and you never pick up the phone because you don't even see it ringing, that's why you need to block them. Because that is a protection for you not to see the phone ring and have the temptation to pick it up. So you have to block them on your phone, okay? Make sure they cannot text you. Go to your email if they are they use technology. My mother didn't, so I didn't have to go that far. But go to your email. And if you can't just stop their emails, you go and put a folder, make a folder that says do not open on it. So, you know, just psychologically gives you a second to go before you go in there. And send all of their emails from their email address to the folder. Now, yes, I understand they can call you from a different phone. They can email you from a different email address. You just have to keep putting the boundary up. So if they email you from a different address, you do the same thing to that email address. If they call you from a different phone number, block that phone number, okay? You get a weird phone call that you don't know from your area code, like not a spam, right? And you know, so many times I would tell my husband, because I would get weird phone calls from the area code I live in, and I would tell him, I feel like that's my mother trying to get a hold of me. And he's like, no, it's just the wrong number. Guess what happened when she died? And this is just occurring to me at this moment. No more weird phone calls. Nobody calls me that I'm not expecting the phone call from. Or that it's not a phone call that is meant for me, okay? 100% honestly, that happened. So, yeah, those phone calls, they're going to come, okay? I had not thought about that, people. I swear, I love doing these podcasts. It helps you and it helps me, right? Or at least I have aha moments. My mother was for sure going to other places, using other people's cell phones and calling me, or having other people call me, because they stopped after she died. They stopped. Okay, so that's the thing. You have to keep those boundaries, and when they cross a boundary, you have to put a boundary on that one. You have to keep doing it. Block them on social media. Okay, that is so important. If make your Facebook page, Instagram page, everything private, okay? So that not anyone can just follow you, that they need your permission, because you will know if it's a fake account, right? Now, with social media, be very, very careful if you go no contact what you post. You post pictures of your kids, your mom is going to steal them. That is like the most common thing I've heard. My mom didn't have Facebook or anything that had to do with social media. So I didn't have to worry about her like posting pictures of my daughter and saying, look at my, you know, beautiful family. Because they like to brag even though you're not talking to them, right? You have to be very, very careful. And whatever you post on social media, please don't post anything personal. You shouldn't anyway, okay? You shouldn't put your dirty laundry out there. And you might want to at first, okay? I did it. I made that mistake. And I lost people, but that's okay. Those people weren't meant to be a part of my life. I'm not upset about that. I don't even know who it is, but I know I lost a few friends on Facebook because I told my story. And people don't want to hear that your mother is a bad person, because that is unheard of, right? That's not possible. I'm glad that mentality is changing with the generations coming up, that mothers can be toxic and are toxic, you know? It's okay to say that my girlfriend is toxic or my wife, but not okay to say my mother. That girlfriend and wife eventually becomes a mother, and that person gets older. So I don't know where the logic is that they can be toxic only as a girlfriend or a wife and not as a grown mother of grown children. It's the same person, right? Okay. So you have to be very, very careful. You have to block first the narcissist on everything. No excuses. Weird phone calls, block. Weird emails, blocks. Texts that you get from other people, block, right? Then you have to start, and this is the more difficult part, is feeling out, and depending on the size of your family, this could be a lot of people, or it could be like me, which just a few people, and it could be people you don't expect to be flying monkeys. My biggest flying monkey, and I hope to God that she has found this damn podcast. Excuse my language. Because for years, I wanted her to know, although I now know that, think that she knows how I feel about her. Because she put her nose in me and my family's business where it doesn't belong. She married my cousin, my aunt's son, the one that I hate here. It's not that I hate him. It's that he is the king of the narcissists in the family. And everybody worships him. And it makes me feel disgusted. I told him off last year. That was satisfying as hell. I'm not going to lie. But it gave him narcissistic supply. So I did, but I did confuse him, which was fun. Anyway, his second wife decided, second wife that's now his ex as well, decided that she was going to be the one to be the flying monkey. So much so that my mother told me one day that I should talk to her, that she's a good, my mother was telling me to talk to her. And I did, because I didn't know how this all worked at that point. I learned pretty quickly that she was just, I mean, she was the one who told me all of the things that my mother had said about me. There's no purpose in you knowing what has been said about you except to hurt you. So I would be very careful. Listen to your gut, listen to your mind. If someone, please listen, I'm trying to save you from hurt by telling you my story. And if someone is telling you, your mother said this, 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 and this, that person doesn't care about you, okay? They're trying to fuel the fire. They're trying to hurt you because now you're hearing things you didn't know were being said about you. And guess what? You not knowing or knowing doesn't change anything. So it's better if you don't know. I would rather not know all the horrible things that my mother said about me. Okay? Because it would have saved me a little bit of hurt in the end. So it took me a year and a half. But I finally blocked her and everything. And like, I don't know, maybe 7-8 months ago, she attempted to request to follow me on Instagram, my personal page. And she can't, you know, because I saw her and I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I almost laughed and just, you know, denied, right? Deleted the request because hell no, I'm not going to do that to myself. I'm not crazy. So it's such an important thing, right? Once you've got no contact and you've put up those walls towards the narcissist, you also have to realize, do I have a sibling that's a narcissist? If you are not an only child, because I am, but like I said, I've been in this a long time and I've heard so many stories. And it's usually my sister's a narcissist, right? I hear sister a lot more than my brother, but I hear brother too. If you have a sibling that's a narcissist, you have to block them too. If you want to be protected, it's up to you how much protection you want and how much you can take. You know, eventually that narcissist is just as bad as your mother. You know, your mother made that narcissist, right? We are the cycle breakers. I put a post a few days ago about how this isn't your fault and that we are special because we have been chosen, okay? Literally chosen to be the breakers of generational trauma, okay? We are special and we're not going to let anyone stop us from doing what was put in our DNA. Okay? We are the ones that are breaking the chain, and we need to do that because we break that chain and we are at least from our lineage, that means directly down from us, we are stopping the abuse. and our children will not be toxic because we treated them differently. And their children will not be toxic because they will know how to raise their kids better than even we raised them. Okay? That's the goal when we have kids. But in our case, we're breaking chains of generational trauma that have come down, literally come down far. Right? I mean, I don't even know. I know my grandmother on my mother's side was I was six and I picked up on her toxicity. So I don't know if it was her mother. I assume it was her mother, my great-grandmother. My great-grandmother. And then probably her great-grandmother. You know, and that's how it's come down the chain. And they've created a whole bunch of narcissists. Look, I'm only breaking the chain with me and down with my daughter. But hopefully, I'm hoping that my cousin's kids aren't going to be. And they're not doing it to their kids. They're chain breakers too, but they're not like me. Like, I want to break other people's chains as well. I want to help that happen for other people. So we're special. And we have to be very careful who we let into our lives, who we talk to. Family is the people we choose. Not just the people that we share DNA with. Trust me. I did my ancestry DNA and I don't have any connection to some of those people that came up as my relatives. I have like one guy who's like pretty closely related, like first cousin twice removed, once removed or something. You would think I would know him. I don't even know who he is, right? We spoke on the phone once because I was curious because he's on my dad's side, but that doesn't mean anything, right? That doesn't mean anything. What matters is the people you choose, and the people that you don't choose that are there just to make sure that you are telling them stuff so they could go back to the narcissist and tell them, they love that shit. You don't want those people around you. You don't. You don't want them, okay? They're energy vampires. They get off on that. It's disgusting. You know, I know she was getting off on that, that flying monkey. She was getting off on it. And now, like, when I cut them off completely, when I finally said I'm not talking to my cousin's son anymore, oh my God, I didn't expect what happened to happen. I thought I was going crazy. Okay, I mean, I literally for 2 days was like, oh my God, I'm going nuts. Because what they did is used my aunt in Cuba as a way to confuse me. And hopefully I would call somebody. And when it didn't work, you know, I don't know if my aunt's alive or not. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I talked about this in maybe two podcasts back. But you have to be very careful, and it takes time. This is not something that you will figure out immediately. But remember what I'm saying. Save this podcast. This is an important one, okay? Is it takes time, but you have to be very, very empathetic. And by that, I don't mean feeling bad for these people. I mean, you want to pick up on those little cues that tell you, oh, this person just wants 2, 3, and 4 from me, okay? Because you don't want to give information to the narcissist. That's what they want. That's narcissistic supply. Any reaction. Now, one more thing. I don't want to go into I don't want my podcast to be 2 hours long, but I could talk about this for 10 hours, 15, maybe an entire 24 hours. So you don't want, you want to be able to react correctly to those Hoover attempts, which will happen one way or another. A lot of people say, my mother has not even tried calling me. No, But the Hoover attempts are still happening. You're just not realizing it because it's not coming directly from her. You have to be very careful with your responses. Your responses to people should be very unemotional, giving no information about yourself, changing the subject as quickly as possible so that the narcissist doesn't get what they want, which is an emotional response from you. That's what they're looking for. And they're going to try and do it as many times as they can with as many people as they can. And sometimes they try themselves. Like I've seen many texts from mothers, and it's, okay, so watch out for this text. I'm sorry that you feel that way, but we tried the best that we could. Okay, we're not perfect, but we tried the best that we could. Every single text I have seen written by a narcissistic mother says those words. Okay, they don't take accountability because they're saying it's your feelings, not what I did. It's your feelings, even though I wanted you to feel that way. They don't take accountability, and then they say they did the best they could, okay? People, they did the best they could. So the best they could was treating you like dirt and putting you down. That's the best they could. All right. I can't keep going on this podcast. Maybe I'll do a part two for next week. And continue talking about this because I know this is important. And I know I have the Mother's Day podcast to put out as well because, well, it's coming. It's inevitable. And you guys, I need to give you options of what to do on Mother's Day if you don't want to go to mom's house. And, you know, in a nutshell, you are free to do what you want and you don't need to do what they want. All right, I'm going to end it there. I love you guys very much. Don't forget that if you want coaching, I'm going to put the link, okay, my link tree. Feel free, okay? I know what I'm talking about. And I don't mean to just sound narcissistic myself, but I do. I've been in this for years, having people tell me their stories, giving away advice for free for years, just to be a nice person. But, you know, I know people get angry, but you pay a therapist and you pay your doctors and you pay for other things. And I need to make money somehow. And this is my expertise. So I don't want to, like, rob you, okay? I cost less than most tarot card readers. So if you're interested, please, you know, book yourself with me and we will, you know, and we could have a session and you can see if we're a good fit or not. You know, if I can help you with your feelings. And you don't have to be no contact. You don't even have to be thinking about going no contact. It could just be about how you feel in the moment, okay? Again, I love you guys very much. I hope that these podcasts are helpful. And I know that they are because I do get those messages. And that's what keeps me coming back. No matter what I say, I'm done, I'm stepping away. Unless something drastic happens where I have no choice, I will always come back because I can't let you guys not have me to help you, right? To guide you through this. You know, I'm lucky that I get to do this and my mother's dead. There's no other way to say that. You know, she's dead and I'm done with it. But I'm still not 100% done. Things are still happening. So that's good for you because it's more experience for me to pass on. All right. I love you guys so much. I hope this was helpful. And until next time.